News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. It is, it's like we're going kind of time traveling here, talking eco health, which we talked a lot about during the pandemic, obviously. It's kind of dragging along here. They remain in the news. Why?
Well, it's for one reason, and one reason alone, and that is Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, who I'm sure there's others working alongside her, and I've seen other politicians in the Senate and Congress who every now and then will talk some about what continues to go on in our funding and research of dangerous pathogens, like what they were doing with the COVID virus, with the coronavirus, and we know how a lot of that played out. But
playing with fire a little bit.
As much as we think we know, it's still surprising to me when you look at any official report. They use words like alleged, and it's not a sure thing. Just the entire investigation has kind of been stonewalled. I mean, you all know this. It's been stonewalled from the very get-go, first from China and then from Fauci and the crew at the National Institutes of Health. So any clear answers come intermittently and without much fanfare. It's kind of like a slow faucet drip of this happened, this happened, this happened. And then the latest drip from that faucet is that apparently EcoHealth Alliance is still using funding from grants from the National Institutes of Health.
Did somebody like forward that to Joni Ernst?
Yeah. So,
like a whistleblower or what? How did, because I know back in May, they cut off funding.
They did.
Biden was under pressure from Republicans for sure, but there were even Democrats who felt like, hey man, you need to act here. And I thought they did. What I'm reading from the New York Times back in May.
Yeah. So this letter, it was sent to Ernst if you don't think the federal government's bloated, just look at some of these titles that people have. Okay.
Lay it on me. I want to hear it.
The Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment. And it's not nearly the longest title that some of these bureaucrats have. But William LaPlante is this fellow's name, and he sent a letter to the Iowa Senator Ernst on August 1st. And basically what they've exposed here, what he has shown, is that the Pentagon is still funneling money to EcoHealth Alliance, despite the fact that it's a suspended grantee.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the Pentagon is also unable to fully access data on gain-of-function research that EcoHealth may be funding overseas, including still in China. So LaPlante sends this letter to Ernst August 1st, said data generated through these projects are the property of the partner country and are used to generate periodic reporting. While the Department of Defense does not have direct access to this data, the DOD encourages all cooperative threat reduction grantees to publish results so that the data is accessible to the international community. So what we're doing is, hey, here's 4 million, here's 500,000, here's 3 million, different grants to different places, investigating or studying different things. And because these projects are happening in other countries, they're saying that that's the property of those countries. So they're saying, please just let us know from time to time what data you're coming up with as you investigate things like monkeypox, coronavirus.
Yeah, monkeypox, by the way, showing up in Sweden. We'll have that story.
And San Francisco.
Whoa.
Yeah, San Francisco wastewater.
Wow.
Revealed that last night. So you're right. On May 29th, Ernst sent Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin a letter, sending a lot of letters up there, demanding confirmation that all taxpayer funding to EcoHealth Alliance had been cut off after the Manhattan-based nonprofit was suspended from receiving any future federal grants earlier in May, like you just said, Dan. And she also inquired about access to the data that they were uncovering. She told the New York Post, it's deeply disturbing the Biden-Harris administration will not pull the plug on EcoHealth and claims not to even have access to key information about the dangerous experiments that it's paying for. So, of course, why it was suspended, the Department of Health and Human Services initiated the suspension and proposed that EcoHealth be debarred for at least 3 years based on adequate evidence that it likely violated protocols of the National Institutes of Health regarding biosafety, while funding bat coronavirus experiments at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Mm-hmm. So for that one, EcoHealth received more than $4 million from the NIH for the bat coronavirus experiment project. More than $500,000 of that $4 million went to the Wuhan Institute. The group failed to provide evidence disproving that its experiments in China constituted gain-of-function research when they were requested by Health and Human Services. EcoHealth has also denied any of its experiments in Wuhan constituted gain-of-function research, despite plenty of testimony from NIH officials and scientists to the contrary. They also denied that any resulting viruses could have produced the pandemic that killed so many people worldwide. Some members of Congress, former federal officials, and scientific experts have flagged another EcoHealth proposal that was never funded, but they are using that as smoking gun evidence that the virus could have been engineered in Wuhan. Now, last September, Health and Human Services also barred Wuhan from receiving any U.S. funding for the next 10 years, but loophole. In February, Ernst found that a researcher linked to the Wuhan lab is still collaborating on a USDA grant to study bird flu transmissibility and its potential to jump into mammal hosts. LaPlante, back to this letter he sent August 1st, acknowledged at least two more Defense Threat Reduction Agency subgrants to EcoHealth Alliance are still ongoing but won't be renewed. So maybe these were funded before EcoHealth was suspended from receiving grants, but they're still ongoing. One set to wrap up September. The funding for it is supposed to wrap up next month. And they provided Georgetown University with a grant of $2.8 million for research on reducing the risk of pathogens causing fever in New Guinea. At least $150,000 of that was given as a subgrant to EcoHealth. The other project here, giving more than $4.2 million to the University of Pretoria. This will run until July of next year. And this is to EcoHealth for biosurveillance on viral zoonoses in bat livestock human interfaces in southern Africa. So it sounds similar to the bat coronavirus project in China and other places,
yeah,
but this one in southern Africa. In total, the Defense Threat Reduction Agency has provided $46.7 million to EcoHealth for 13 projects. That's from a Department of Defense Office of Inspector General audit that came out in June. But they claim none of the funding was allocated to China, its affiliates, or for research involving enhancement of pathogens, also known as gain-of-function research, but rather for pathogen-related biosurveillance studies and training.
All right, so let me just read a little bit of this story from May, and then let's put it together, okay? And tell me why we are where we are today. This was a story from like middle of May, May 15th or so. The Biden administration, under acute pressure from House lawmakers, moved on Wednesday to ban funding for a prominent virus-hunting nonprofit group whose work with the Chinese scientists had put it at the heart of the theories that COVID leaked from a lab. The decision announced in a letter from the Department of Health and Human Services came on the heels of a scorching congressional hearing last month that lawmakers barraged the group's president and suggestions that he had misrepresented work with virologists in Wuhan, China.
So when you say last month, you mean February, because this was a May story in the New York Times.
Right.
Okay.
So whatever.
That's when they were giving it to him in the congressional hearings.
April.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. April. So, yeah, when they say last month, they meant April. At the time, that's when it was. So you had Daszak getting grilled up there. Is that Daszak or Daszak?
Yeah, Daszak.
So he's getting it, you know, he's getting the old one, too, and he's not enjoying himself, as we see so many people in these congressional hearings. It's not the time of their life. For EcoHealth, which relied on federal funding to study the threat of wild animals and viruses, the loss of funding is another twist in a saga that has long dominated discussions of how the pandemic began. Okay, so that's it. No more funding, but you're saying the funding continues.
Yeah, and I'm just assuming, which, you know, what
happens.
Things
are going to expire.
I assume that, yeah, they said, well, you already have these. Go ahead and finish your game before dinner.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How about that?
You have this one running out and this time. But how about they were supposed to completely, you know, keep the Wuhan Institute of Virology out of the loop on any of these things, which, duh. I mean, look at what happened to the world, to the country. But they had a Wuhan-linked researcher that's still linked to these grants from the EcoHealth. They just went around, loophole, you know, build something next door and call it the Wuhan something else.
Yeah.
And then you're not. It's sickening. And I think a big part of this is, well, it's on Congress. They don't equally punish for contempt of Congress. And we've seen it time and time again in different scenarios where someone using federal money or whatever is doing something completely contrary to the good of the United States. Or they lie about it in front of Congress. They leave information out in front of Congress. And no one is held in contempt of Congress except Steve Bannon and and Peter, the former...
Navarro?
Yeah, Peter Navarro. How has DASAC not been held in contempt of Congress? How has Fauci not been held in contempt of Congress? And how can the Biden-Harris administration, even if Biden or Harris, I don't know if they know or not that this is still going on, but how can you allow that to continue happening? I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest travesties, certainly in our era with coronavirus, and that's before you even mention the complete overkilling of it that states like, well, ours and Minnesota, what Tim Walz did, where they just ruined lives. They ruined the end of life for a lot of people who weren't allowed to see their families they passed away.
Well, that is so true. They did ruin the end of a lot of lives.
And already no one is being held accountable. We still don't have any... We know what happened for the most part, but no one, no official source is saying this is what happened.
Yeah, there's no concrete, assessment of the whole thing. Here's how it happened, and so for one of the stories of our lifetime, like this is unusual. One of the great stories of our lifetime, and we're never going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah,
it seems. I mean, officially. To the bottom of it.
They don't want us to get to the bottom of it. Right.
And it's amazing that you can have these stories like the pandemic, like, I don't know, a president being shot in this year, a president being shot in 1963. It's like the dominant story of a 10-year period. And somehow... there's no answers in the end.
Right. And I know there's a lot of different investigations into the second thing you mentioned there, the Trump assassination attempt, which happened last month.
I know.
How hard is that?
I know.
Last month. One bit of news from that, and hopefully there will be some more digging into this. A Louisiana representative, Clay Higgins, requested to examine... Thomas Crooks? They put Matthew Crooks here. That's his middle name, Matthew Crooks. I think it's Thomas Matthew Crooks. He requested to examine Crooks' body because it took, they said they were very late on the autopsy report and the coroner's report. Higgins said as of Monday, August 5th, they were a week late. He wanted to, I guess, investigate, take the autopsy report, and then, you know, actually investigate Crooks' body. But apparently, they cremated Crooks just 10 days after the assassination attempt. Higgins, the congressman, said, my effort to examine Crooks' body on Monday, August 5th, caused quite a stir and revealed a disturbing fact. The FBI released the body for cremation 10 days after July 13th. On July 23rd, Crooks was gone. Nobody knew this until Monday, August 5th, including the county coroner, law enforcement, sheriff, etc.
The coroner didn't know that he'd been cremated?
Well, that's what he says in this line. But then he says, yes, Butler County coroner technically had legal authority over the body, but I spoke with the coroner, and he would have never released Crook's body to the family for cremation or burial without specific permission from the FBI. The way that Higgins lays this out, it doesn't sound like it was permission from the FBI. It sounds like the FBI said, all right, turn over his body for cremation from the family. And all this does is create more questions.
Sure. Like, but what could we have found from examining the body 11 days afterwards?
Well, I think
two weeks afterwards.
You want to take the official autopsy report that comes out, and you want to verify that that autopsy was on the up and up. I would think that that's what they want to do here.
But don't we know? Isn't it clear how he died?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think he was shot by Secret Service. That's the story, right? That he was shot at least once. I don't know if they said he was shot twice or not. I think they said that the sniper fired off two shots. But again, in a story with this kind of magnitude,
it's the last thing you need is all kinds of more crap like this.
You don't burn part of the evidence 10 days after the shooting, especially when the evidence is the shooter's body.
It's, you know what, Dalton? Yes, you do. And that's so there's another question. Why? Where's the oversight and where's the decision being made? And is it made for, you know, the wrong reasons?
I don't know.
But They keep stepping on their own thing to make us ask those questions, do they not?
They do, yeah. With whether it's COVID, assassination, it's thing after thing, time after time.
Biggest story. Can't get to the bottom of it. It is 8:21 with Dan and Dalton. Hey, y'all. Thanks for texting. 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. And you can get your opinion in that way, or you can call 251-343-0106. Same telephone number.
Yeah, we got a call coming in right now. If you can grab that, Leanna. And 826, let's go through some of the texts here. 251-343-0106. Rock and roll doctor. Come on, Dalton. There's never anything nefarious with the FBI. You know this. Joel in Somerdale. Just like the assassination with Donald Trump, you'll never know the truth. Our government, Joel says, our government tried to kill Donald Trump. There were so many loopholes that wouldn't something out. He was cussing, but voice to text, tough to get here. Trying to cover up, not say this and that. It's ridiculous. Leo and King of All Unnamed Texters asking if monkeypox will be the next election infection. There's already so much information about how you get or could get monkeypox that I think people are... I don't see how that's possible, of course. There's been a lot more of it showing up, apparently.
So I didn't know about San Francisco, ironic. Swedish government announced the presence of the first confirmed case of a more severe Mpox strain diagnosed outside of Africa. They say that somebody from Sweden was in Africa for a time, returned to Sweden, and that's their explanation.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know about San Francisco. That was news to me.
Yeah, I think they found it in the wastewater in San Francisco. Jerry, how much money would it take for either of you guys to go work at a prison?
Hmm.
I'm thinking, what I went with Jerry, I guess I'll stick with that. I said $200,000 annually plus a nice retirement pension. I don't think that's what the corrections officers are getting paid, though.
No, they upped it $12,000 to $15,000 last year and got some bites on there. I would like $1.7 million signing bonus, first of all, and then we'll just go from there.
Yeah, it's a problem. And part of that story that was shocking, I guess it's not shocking, but sad, is they did have a lot of applicants, right? Like 1,500 that applied?
That did between 12 and 1,300, okay. And only 400-some were agile or physical enough to...
Physically capable to be a corrections officer.
Job, right.
That is not good. Also, you know, these prisons are in places that most people generally just don't want to live, right?
Mm, yeah.
It's tough to get people out there. And I don't know how this lines up with the feds looking into the prisons. You know, we're
DOJ?
Still on that timeline,
yeah,
right? That we have to get the prison situation fixed. We've had two big prison stories this week. Trying to find the funding for the for the Escambia County Prison.
Ran out of money with the first one, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Right, that's exactly
so,
right.
So the money to build two prisons turned into the money to just build one. So they haven't broken any ground or anything in Atmore, so that's, you know, but they're going to have to find that money regardless. I don't know if we're getting any grace from the DOJ because we're trying.
Working on it.
You know, there's obvious evidence that we're addressing it.
Yeah. And so, you know, these new prisons, even if both were built and ready to go, it fixes the problem the DOJ had with the conditions of the old prisons.
Yeah.
You know, no heaters during the winter sometimes. They've had all kinds of issues. These prisons are so old. But it doesn't fix the overcrowding problem.
No.
Because it's still the same number, roughly, of beds that they have in all these other prisons.
Yeah.
And clearly, we haven't gotten to the... we haven't finished hiring enough corrections officers to reach the DOJ's recommended number either.
On the text line, what do you think would be the answer to that, to get more able-bodied people to apply? You know what? They jumped that money up a pretty good bit, and that really didn't quite do it.
How about illegal immigrants?
Why did I not see that coming? Man, 830 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a hot Friday. Now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great. Why don't you let the folks know what's going on today and this weekend at McConnell Automotive and how they can come out and maybe take a new ride for a test drive.
That's right. We got plenty of them out front. I know that. And check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. That's right. We're going to be here all weekend and hopefully sell a few cars. We got some great trades in this weekend. We were trying to get yesterday, actually. We had a great day. We're going to try to get those up on the website pretty quick. And like I said, we're going to be out here all weekend. Check us out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. And give us a call if you want us want to come by and test drive one, and we'll get it right out front, get it turned on, get the air conditioning cool for you, so you really don't have to get out in the heat.
That's the most important thing, right, is the air conditioning being ready to ride.
That's right.
Also, you're buying cars from customers, too.
That's right. Give us a call, 251-476-4141. Ask for Eddie Hicks, Gene Stuckey, or Mike Hatcher. We got three of them out here now, so you know, you got something you want to sell us, just give us a call. Just give them the VIN, the miles, and a little description of the car, and they can talk it to you right over the phone.
It's that easy. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, go find him and the team at McConnell Automotive. They're on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website is McConnellAutomotive.com.
Okay, to the text line. Let's see who this is. Anyway, what they're saying is weird is the new deplorable. Was that today? That might have been yesterday. This is Come On Dalton. There's never anything that's
rock and roll doctor yet. Weird is the new deplorable. Yeah. I'd see Josh Hawley's opponent in his race to retain his seat as a Missouri senator. That was the line of attack he went with yesterday. Why are you so weird, man? I guess they were at a fair or something and shouted at each other's faces for 20 minutes about how terrible the other person was, but they won't debate. But they'll stand there and scream at each other for 20 minutes about one being weird and one being an idiot. Good times in American politics. Gardner says, seems as though we're finding millions of dollars for other projects, but we're not finding money for prisons, mental facilities, and roads and bridges. Well, I've seen a lot of money for roads and bridges here recently. He said, but maybe because spending money on basics doesn't buy votes. Ken describing how you get monkeypox, and that is exactly right. For the most part, you know, with exceptions, very few exceptions, it's gay sex. That's how monkeypox is spread. So, but apparently they're finding it more and more here over the last few weeks. Jerry says, he said, I would go to work for the DOC for cheaper than he would do it. CB, Carl, how can the Floribama be 60 years old when up to Hurricane Ivan they were saying doing it on the line since 1962? We used to be the same age up until then. I'd like to shave off a couple years. I have a hat that proves it. I guess maybe the official, once they officially filed as a company or something, I don't know.
Could be.
But Floribama's been around a long time. And big birthday this weekend.
So 60 would make them, there was 64.
Yeah, 64.
64, all right.
Also, let's go to the phone lines. We have James the Engineer. Hey, James, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good. What you want to discuss today?
Well, I was just thinking about, I'm going to make a little fun, but I'm going to go into also the shooting. Just imagine a new disease. It's called the bat, monkey, cow, chicken, you know what I'm saying, rhino.
Pox.
Cougar.
Pox, yeah.
You know, I mean, what's going on? Why do you need to start mixing blood like that? The only thing I can think of is we're trying to think of a way of messing with our livestock. We already, you know, we've already had the last couple of years, they burn up all the chickens.
Yeah.
You know, the raising spots. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Talking about the shooter's body, now, you know, I've always believed that there's no doubt in my mind that it was an inside job as far as JFK. Three shots, but it was only one shot by Oswald that killed. They tried to claim he shot from that building. There's just no way. The movement of the car, the angle. It just was not feasible. There was a tree at the right angle to get the shot that could have altered the round from hitting. But, you know, how do you explain the bullet going from the front? And see, you know, they just now in the last 10 years started talking about the bullet going through the windshield. You hardly ever heard about that.
No.
If you go back and look at all the videos that I've looked at, supposedly the fake Cougar, you know, video, whatever his name is, and then the real one.
Yeah.
Cruder, I stand corrected. It's just, you know, it's mind-boggling what this this world's had to go through, and people had to try to figure out what's fake and what's real anymore. It's just like this election. You know, I've told people, I think I told you all on the air, that I doubt very seriously Donald Trump will ever win, because they have other things in place that's going to make sure that it happens. It's not even going to be a vote thing that's going to be what I would call legit. You know, they've already, the talk show, Joe Pegg at night, yep, already come up with evidence
Joe
showing
Pegg's.
That yeah. Joe Pegg, I stand corrected again.
That's all right,
Joe
man.
Pegg, 69 December is starting to fall apart there, you know.
Well, thank you, buddy. Thanks for the call. You're not
James.
On Jeopardy. You don't have to get all the answers, right?
Yeah, no. Nah, I've known James for a very long time.
Nice guy.
Love that dude.
Yeah.
Veteran who served our country. Thank
right.
you, James. Yeah, that, you know, a lot more people have dug in a lot further to the JFK assassination than I have, and have been doing it for longer than I've been alive, actually looking into
including
it.
Including someone called RFK Jr.
Including, yes, yeah. his nephew. And so many, you know, the FBI and the CIA... And they do a lot of good things, and they great things. They protect our country in many ways. They haven't earned the right, especially after so many stories over so many years of cover-ups, they haven't earned the right to have us take them at their word
right.
for everything.
No.
And
the director of the FBI at that time was J. Edgar Hoover, too, who had a long – well, he, first of all, he was in power for so long. Mm-hmm. It was like a czar, really. And then he had, you know, the way he did business was obviously wasn't very ethical. I guess if you're trying to get to the bottom of something, you're not always going to be ethical.
Yeah.
But he was over the FBI at that time, FBI, CIA, whatever. But I always heard it was the CIA, but probably had the blessing of the FBI.
Well, the thing that gets me is... You know, America is supposed to be a free and open democratic republic, right? And we're supposed, as citizens, we're supposed to know what's going on. And I understand we can't know everything, especially in the moment, things that are going on. But when you have something like the coronavirus pandemic or an assassination attempt on the former president who is leading in many polls to be the next president, and you just can't get any kind of clear answers and things are jumbled from the very beginning.
Right.
Like I said, they may not have, you know, it might not have been an inside job. Probably wasn't. But they don't have the right to have us assume
right.
that everything is on the up and up.
No, they right? blows, they blows that right.
I don't know how long it normally takes, what the usual waiting period is for when someone passes away and they intend to be cremated. I don't know what that usual process is, but it is strange to me that they would cremate the body of the attempted assassin who killed a man, shot yep. two other men, shot yep. Trump, 10 days after the shooting took place before the autopsy comes out.
Yeah.
It's just strange. And the coroner said, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it on my own time. The FBI came in and said for me to do it, to turn the body over for cremation. It's just a lot of weird stuff going on there. And one more thing here. I want to read this text. Randy sent me a link to Washington Post was digging into, just like so many others, that July 13th shooting in Butler. He said the Washington Post reported in the link above that it was a local law enforcement officer that took the first shot at Thomas Crooks first and was going to take another shot before the government sniper shot at Crooks. This is why it's very important to know the autopsy reports of Crooks' body. The Washington Post on the above link had a great graphic of the timing of the shots. In the video embedded within the article, all 10 shots are time-graphed in the motion video. So
wow.
you had eight
okay.
from Crooks, one from the federal sniper, from the Secret Service sniper, and one from
local.
The local police sniper.
And as far as, like, elections and all that kind of stuff, I heard Tucker Carlson revealed on an interview that he was doing that it just kind of hit him one time. Like, he was aware that America, you know, we always say, well, we're doing it, but they're doing, you know, election interference, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's commonly known that we've got people involved in that sort of thing in other parts of the world. And then it just hit him one time. It was like, well, if we do it there, why wouldn't
we do it here?
Why would we not do it here?
Yeah.
Whenever the
and
stakes
we,
are,
as in the intelligence
yeah.
or whoever,
right.
CIA generally when you're talking internationally.
right? So if you've got, if the stakes are high, that's my opinion again on Harris and Waltz, is that, I know we disagree on this, but I'm saying that Harris probably didn't get the chance to, it'd be like an assistant coach getting to pick your first draft pick. It's like, you don't get to do that. Mm-hmm. But maybe she did. But the stakes being so high for, you know, who are you going to pick? How's it going to affect this election? That's why I have questions that Harris was deeply involved in that choice of Waltz, which turned out to be maybe a massive mistake.
Yeah, and, you know, Tucker Carlson, since you mentioned him, even more recently, talking about the other great scandal and cover-up, is that Biden is still our president.
I know.
He's not capable of running for president, but we're supposed to expect him to be capable to continue to run the country with this battle with Russia going on between the two main nuclear powers, with China trailing. A new twist in Ukraine with, are you talking about the new report out about
to tack on.
Cross-border invasion. And then, of course, everything going in the Middle East and right. with China. So what we have is a government that we don't know who's leading it.
Yeah.
Really. We can have some ideas, but you don't know who's leading it, and all this crazy things going on, and we can't get any answers on any of them.
And they just keep going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they keep accelerating, and you have, this is their president. And then you pick up, you turn on the news the next day, and there's more to the story, that, you know, in Ukraine, in the Middle East, with the assassinations of the terrorist leaders. And you just have these things, and it's the same guy is there.
Yeah.
And he admittedly says, or his party says, you're not well enough to run, but he's well enough to be in this position right now.
And it must be such a peace of mind. And there's, well, at least 45% of the electorate out there that feels this way. And maybe even, and I was much more like it, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago than I am now, to take everything that comes out and treat it as fact. You know, that the only reason that we're backing Ukraine so hard is because we're worried that Putin won't stop there, that he'll invade the rest of Europe, that he is the next Hitler, and he's on this rampage. And they say, okay, I stand with Ukraine. And actually, coronavirus, we're still not exactly sure how it leaked out of China, but it certainly wasn't this or that. Okay, well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Biden's not capable of running for president, but he's leading perfectly right now. He's doing a great job. Now he can focus all of his attention on running the country. What's it like? It must be such a peace of mind to just take all of that and say, all right, things are going well.
Well, I guess that would be people who are going to vote for Harris or Biden. The talk of Biden, Pelosi expanding Mount Rushmore to include Biden. Was that a joke? Was that what was it?
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing it is amazing. At this point, it is easy and probably even smart to question just about everything. I mean,
it's not peaceful.
No, it's not peaceful at all. We talked about that,
too. It's dark
in
many ways. But, you know, and then Kamala comes out with her first policy position later today. She wants to put price controls on groceries. Have you seen what happens in other countries when you start controlling the price of things like groceries? You end up with bread lines.
And you made a good point, too, that... She makes that policy announcement while Trump is calling her a Marxist, mm-hmm. and a communist, and that's when she comes out with this announcement.
Yeah, the Washington Post pointing that out. If people are calling you a communist, propose price controls on groceries and housing.
This is crazy. It is crazy. 849 FM Talk 106.5. From Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 854. Thanks for all the texts. We appreciate it. 251-343-0106.
Let's go through some texts, shall we? By the way, meant to point this out. You know how early voting starts this year?
I think it's right after Labor Day.
Yeah. North Carolina will get absentee ballots September 6th. That's when they're going to start sending those out. So before the first debate between Kamala and Trump, or before maybe her first big interview, if she has one, some people could have already placed votes for one or the other candidates. And then September 16th, you get Pennsylvania mail-in ballots sent to voters And then so on and so forth. Wisconsin, September 19th, absentee ballots. So there's going to be a lot of voting done way, way before. Some states, basically everyone mails in their vote.
I think Colorado. It's Washington State.
Washington, Colorado is as well.
Yeah.
Texter here, Jason, feels like the prosecutor's office is okay. We're talking about the Pritchard lead detective not showing up for that murder trial the other day.
Yeah.
And then charges being dismissed and the Pritchard police saying that he was looking into a different case.
So I'm familiar with that area he's talking about, Gulf Village, right? Mm-hmm. Gulf, it's a housing project, and it is right next to Light of the Village, Alabama. So it's across a tiny, tiny little creek from what would be considered Alabama Village there. It's like a small project. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a small, and there's a lot of crime in there. So I get that he was dealing with that, if he was, in fact. But, yeah, so it turns out case gets thrown out because it was the second time prosecutors did not they
tried to postpone it.
They tried to postpone.
They say delay versus postpone. Yeah, is the difference. So, he just wanted to push it back a couple hours.
That was this week. That's what Knight said. The chief of Pritchard Police.
Still not good. Dismissing murder charges. Martin says, I saw the Zapruder film at St. Mary's University in San Antonio when it was first released to the public. Never forgot it. Ricky, did you ever feel like Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam, where the FCC controls all of your news, so you keep us in the dark? You know, after this hour, Ricky, I'm really wondering what we're keeping in the dark. We've gone in this hour, maybe more than we ever have.
Well, Ricky, you know, he sees things a little differently.
Mr. Plott says if they make Biden's head out of granite, he'll gain 30 IQ points. Gardner says Crooks could have been embalmed and held as long as they needed. The body was evidence. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right? And who would want Kamala to answer that 3 a.m. call and have the nuclear codes? Thank you. And this is, sorry for your loss, but somebody telling us usually about how long it takes for a body to be released for cremation, you know, not the body of someone who tried to assassinate the president,
right,
but just about 5 to 6 days in this case. And again, I'm sorry for your loss in that text. Look how the body of Justice Scalia was handled when he was killed. Pete says, all part of the cover-up. How many times was he shot and from where? The FBI isn't stupid. The evidence of inside job grows, but it takes courage to see it. So we appreciate the text, 251-343-0106. Maybe something we could dive into a little further on Monday with school back in session, colleges getting back into the swing of things. Remember how we left off the last school year?
Oh, yeah, that was thrilling. And matter of fact, we'll probably get this, maybe double up on that on Monday. We can talk about how these campuses are reassessing exactly how they're going to operate in the fall.
With pro-Palestinian protests
on their campus and all that. News out of L.A., federal district Tuesday ordered the University of California, LA, UCLA, to stop allowing and assisting anti-Semitic agitators banning Jews from large parts of UCLA's campus. I mean, in these school administrators, higher learning, but I mean, that's a joke.
How is, and it's despicable, how is that different than a lot of these colleges that created anti-white zones,
mm-hmm,
you know, safe spaces from white people?
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like this and what they did with the Jewish students.
Just change out to the first word, Jewish, white, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Jeff Porcho on the way, Todd Stacey, Rusty Glover. Oh, that's great. And also State Senator Chris Elliott coming up.